Turn back to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. The title of this message is God Sent the Gospel to You. Unto you is the word, He said, of this salvation sent. That's an astounding statement. If you consider who God Almighty is, if we would just for a while consider who sent the gospel, who sent this good news to us? This message of redemption, this message of mercy and grace to sinners. If we could see ourselves as God sees us, we'd be amazed. We'd be amazing grace would really take on a whole new meaning. If we could see it, we could see ourselves as God sees us, sinful. We don't like to think that way, do we? By nature, I know by nature we don't like to think like that. We like to think we're pretty good. But God tells us in the Scriptures who and what we really are. And then we see the amazing grace of God and that He sent the gospel to us. No one ever hears the gospel by accident. No one. Now, Paul gave the Jews in Antioch of Pisidia a brief history lesson to show them that God had fulfilled His promise. God is a faithful God. Hath He not said, and shall He not do? If God has given a promise, you can bank on it now. You can stake your life on it. If God has given a promise, you can stake your life on it. He's going to fulfill that promise. God gave this promise. And He said that God has fulfilled His promise in raising unto Israel a Savior. He promised a Savior. He promised a Messiah. And He has fulfilled His promise. He has raised unto Israel a Savior, and His name is Jesus. We know His name. Jesus, that one that was despised and rejected of men. That one whose face was spit on. There was a lot of movies on last night about Christ and His death and resurrection. I don't know how many I saw last night on. But God has raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. And then He tells them in verse 24 that God has sent them a forerunner. He was prophesied of that God said He would send a forerunner. He would prepare the way of the Lord. And his name is John the Baptist. And they believed that John the Baptist was a true prophet of God. They believed that. And Paul says, well, John's business was to point out the Lamb of God. The whole existence, and this really applies to us too, but the whole existence of John the Baptist, the only reason that he came into this world was to say to Israel, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. The whole existence for any of us is for Christ. It'll either be to the praise and glory of His grace, or it'll be to the praise and glory of His justice. But all things were made by Him and for Him. And He says, God sent a forerunner, John the Baptist, and they believed he was a prophet. And his prophecy, his message was Christ. It was Christ. And He says there, and John first preached the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. They needed it. We need it. The heart must be prepared to receive Christ. The good ground must be plowed before the seed is sown. And he preached the baptism, it says, of repentance. Repentance is to turn. It is to change one's mind or opinion. I mean, really, there's a real change. A real inward change of the heart. About Christ, about God, about sin, and especially about myself. I really see who I am. I really do mourn I don't always have to have tears flowing down my face, but there is a real mourning over sin in the heart. There is. There's a real mourning over sin. And he came and he preached the baptism of repentance. They had let the worship of God degenerate. And God help us not to do it here. Degenerate into outward form. It's Sunday. It's Wednesday. It's time to go to church. Well, there is a time to meet together. But I want our meeting together to truly be a worship service. Not a religious service. To truly, as God's family, to worship God in spirit and in truth. They had let it degenerate into outward forms and the keeping of commandments, listen, of the elders. Well, they thought, well, we just throw some stuff in there that we like. We'll just kind of mix some stuff. You know, it's like when I sit down to eat, I salt my food before I taste it. I mean, I don't even taste it. Every time I sit down, I salt the food before I taste it. And that's what they were doing. They were salting. They were putting in what they liked. And he said, you're teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. God didn't give you these things. And that's what it degenerated into. God help us not to let that happen here. And then he preached repentance because it shows a real heart work. Christ is not in those whose heart has not been broken over sin. He's not in the heart where it's not been broken over sin. And then it shows a real knowledge of sin and it shows a real need of Christ. You show me a man who's broken over sin and I'll show you a man who really, or a woman who really needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone that said that needed healing, he healed. Everyone that needed it. John did not come to brag on them. If you want to talk about being politically incorrect, boy, he was. He was a rough, came right out of the desert. He was a rough around the edges. But he told the truth. He came and he told the truth to Israel. He pointed out their sins and their need of a Savior. And he said, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. There's your hope. Israel, there's your Savior. God's fulfilled His promise. He's fulfilled it. And then it says in verse 25, John fulfilled his course. He said he fulfilled his course. He fulfilled his race. That's what he fulfilled. He fulfilled the very purpose that God called him into this world for. We all have a race to run in this life. A prescribed course. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've run the course. I've kept it. And I pray God to enable us to continually run this race and fulfill the course He's given us here. I do. Then when John fulfilled his course, he asked them, who think ye that I am? John made it very clear that he was not the Christ. I am not the Christ. I am not the Messiah. He would not allow them to even entertain that thought of him being the Messiah, of him being the Christ. He said, I'm just a voice. That's all I am. That's all I am. That's all Frank, when you stood up here. We're just a voice. But what a voice. A voice of truth. A voice of mercy. God's voice. God speaks through His preachers. God spoke through John the Baptist to Israel. But He said, I'm just a voice. And then He says here in verse 25, but behold, there comes one after me. See, I'm just the voice. I'm just here temporarily. I'm just for a little while. But there's one coming after me whose shoes of his feet I'm not worthy. And they thought highly of John the Baptist. He's a prophet. They believed he was a prophet. They knew him to be a prophet. And he said, I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie his shoes. That's true humility. That's true humility. I'm not worthy. John points out the coming of Christ, and he says here, there comes one after me, of whose shoes I'm not worthy. But notice this, he says, he's saying to them, he's coming after me. I'm the last one. The next one is him. He's near to come. That's what he says in verse 25. He's near to come. He's coming after me. I am the last one. Now, the next one that comes is the prophet. The next one that comes is the Messiah, the Savior. That's who he is. And he points out his dignity when he says, I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes. This one who is to appear shortly is of a higher order than me. John was a prophet, but John was a man. Just like me. Just like me and you. He's born of this flesh. He was born of this flesh. But there's one coming after me. This one that comes right after me, when he points him out. This one is the Son of God. This is no ordinary man. I'm not talking to you this morning about an ordinary man that God raised from the dead. This is the Son of the living God. That's who he is. And John wisely took the attention off himself and he put it onto Christ. I hope when you leave here this morning that you think more of him than me. If not, I've failed. John said, he must increase and I must decrease. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you that feareth God, among you Gentiles, this is to the Jews and to the Gentiles, that's who he's speaking to you is the word of this salvation sent. Well, that ought to make you get on the edge of your seat, shouldn't it? That should make us lean forward and say, oh, tell me about it. Tell me about this salvation. God Almighty, the living God, has sent from heaven the word of this salvation to you. God sent the testimony of the promised Messiah to you. You know how many people have come and gone, lived on this earth and died, and have not heard what you've heard? It's not countless numbers, billions, and have not heard, have not had the Word of God that we have. We have this Bible. This Bible is in every house pretty much throughout this country. The Word of this salvation sits on a lot of people's desks and coffee tables. But God has sent it to you. He sent you a preacher, like he sent John the Baptist, the forerunner, and he sent it to you. The word that promises forgiveness. Does anybody need forgiveness of sins? Oh, if I could just find somebody that needs forgiveness of sins. Well, I need it. And there's some out here that need it. To you is the word of this salvation, of forgiveness and mercy and pardon is sent to you. God sent it to you. It's the word of salvation. And listen, and not condemnation. God Almighty could justly condemn me. He could justly send me to hell because of who and what I am and be a just God and a Savior. And the whole host of heaven will say hallelujah when he does it. But he sent the word of salvation and not condemnation. It is the word that describes and declares who salvation is, Jesus. God has raised unto Israel a Savior, a Messiah, and his name is Jesus. He declares who salvation is and who it's for. Sinners. Oh, to find a sinner. Those Pharisees and scribes, they were offended because he ate with publicans and sinners. Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners when he could eat with us? That's their attitude. Their attitude. He could be eating with us good people. Instead of those publicans, those tax collectors, those extortioners, those harlots, those adulterers, look at the company he keeps. I'm glad he does. I'm glad he keeps such company. That lets me in the house. That lets me in the house. And listen, it is sent to you. The gospel was not sent to you by accident. You are not here by accident. I did not go over to my father and mother's house 28 years ago just to eat supper on a Sunday. And he said, that man, Henry was preaching on television. He said, now that man's preaching the gospel. That was not an accident. That was ordered of God. You know, sometimes we receive mail by accident that's not ours. We get it out the shop. Most of the time, there's a beauty shop up above us. And we get her mail. And then sometimes she gets our mail. And sometimes we get the people's mail down below because a substitute comes in and messes it all up. But sometimes we receive mail by accident that's not ours. But the gospel never comes this way. It never comes this way. It goes exactly to the person and to the heart that God sends it. You notice he didn't say the word of this salvation sent to us. He made it personal, didn't he? I can say that to you. To you. It goes exactly to the person, to the heart that God sends you. And it never returns void. Look over in Isaiah 55. We've read this many times and we need to read it many more times. In Isaiah 55:11, let me read verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And I'm sure glad it does. I'm sure glad it accomplishes the purpose God sent it for. I'm glad the rain does its job so you and I can eat. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. Now, I tell you this, if God sends the gospel forth this morning, even though you hear me speak it, we read the word, it's coming forth out of His mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Whatever it is this morning, whatever purpose God sent it for this morning, I promise you it'll be accomplished. It'll be accomplished. It'll never read return to sender. Never. And then it's sent to you on purpose. If God intends to save you, let's get this down to personal. If God intends to save you, He will send the word of this salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, His life, His righteousness, His person, everything about Him will be sent to you. And it'll penetrate the heart. And then when you learn of Christ, then you'll learn of the Father, and then you'll learn of the Holy Spirit. You can't learn of them until you really know Him. Because He's the key of knowledge. He's the key of knowledge. It's through knowing Him that we know the Father, the work of the Father. We know the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. It's through knowing Him. And He sends it. And it'll be concerning Him. And to some, listen, to those whom He sends it to, it'll be a savor of life unto life. But others, the wayside hearers, the stony ground hearers, those who receive it among thorns, it'll be death unto death. It'll add to condemnation. The gospel is sent to, He said, to you. But there'll be others sitting around hearing it. There'll be others sitting around listening. Wayside hearers will be sitting around. They'll be sitting by. They'll be sitting by the wayside. And to them it'll be death unto death. But to you it's life unto life. Real life. And then it's sent to you providentially. Providentially. God orders all our steps in this life. He orders all of our steps. Our steps are not accidental. Our steps are not accidental. The Scripture teaches us, He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Well, a good man is that man in Christ. And he's in Christ before the foundation of the world. God chose us in Christ before the world began. He made us righteous in Christ even before the world began. Or He couldn't have anything to do with you. And it's sent to you providentially. And in His time, in God Almighty's time, He crosses your path. Just like He did Saul when he was going down to Damascus. And God stopped him right there. He crosses our path with this word of salvation concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? We find it to be just what we need. We find it to be just what we needed. When He gives a conviction of sin, and He gives a repentant heart, we find in Christ to be just what we need. And this word of salvation is sent to you, and it's sent to you in power. Look over in 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look here in verse 5. For our gospel, that is the word of salvation, came not unto you in word only, but also in power. God sent it in power. You who have experienced it, you know what He's talking about. You know the effect it had on you and has on you. Not just had on you, it has it on you. It came in power. And in the Holy Ghost, He's the one who brought it in power. And in much assurance. And you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And you became, here's what happened. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. But it came to you in power. Every time God saves a man or a woman, when He saves them, the gospel comes in power. He pricks the heart. And you're not the same anymore. You're not the same anymore. And He sent to you personally. It says sent to you. Sent to you. That ought to make us leap for joy, shouldn't it? When the gospel is preached, that ought to make us leap for joy that God would send such a word of salvation to such a wretch like me. Such a wretch like me. And then what indebtedness this puts us into the grace of God. Oh, what debtors we are. Paul said, not to the flesh to live, not to this flesh, but to the grace and mercy of God. We are debtors to God's grace. And what hopefulness we should have in Christ when God sends the gospel to you. I want you to look over in Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. In verse 22, listen to this. Judges 13, verse 22. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. God has appeared to us. And we are going to die now. Oh, look at the wisdom of this woman. She had more sense than he had, didn't she? But his wife said unto him, the Lord taught that woman something. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. I tell you this, if the Lord was pleased to kill us, Christ would not have died for you. That's why there's no one in hell for whom Christ died. Read that again. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, if He were pleased to condemn us and damn us, He would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Christ is our offering. He wouldn't have received that if He was going to. He wouldn't send the gospel to you. Neither would He have showed us all these things. Nor would as at this time have told us such things as this, if He were going to kill us. Oh, what hopefulness that gives when the gospel is preached and the gospel is sent to you. What joy should fill our hearts. And then, what responsibility? What responsibility? It was sent to you. Let's not be like Felix. First thing I thought of was Felix. Over in Acts 20 something, I didn't write it down. But he heard Paul preach. And this man, it says, trembled. This man actually physically stood there and trembled when Paul preached the gospel to him. And he said, Paul, go your way. And when it's more convenient, when it's a more convenient time, I'll call for you. And you can tell me about this again. Well, it never happened, did it? What responsibility over when God sends the gospel to you? And then he says here in verse 27 through 29, and I'll wind this down. The God sent that to you is the word this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, they heard their voices, but they didn't know who they was preaching. They didn't know the one they were preaching. Which are read every Sabbath day. They read the word of God that we have, the Old Testament. And they have fulfilled them in condemning him. They fulfilled the scriptures in condemning him. The reason God has sent the gospel to you and to us Gentiles is because they rejected it. And He sent the gospel to you. Look over in verse 46 of that same chapter. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you, the Jews, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now the gospel sent to you, you Gentiles. Now he says in verse 29, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, and they didn't know they were doing that, did they? They didn't flip pages and say, well, this is what we're supposed to do today to him. They did what their wicked hearts wanted to do, and in doing that, they fulfilled everything that was written of him. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree, and laid him in a sepulchre. When it was finished, our Lord cried, it's finished. And when he said that, and he gave up the ghost, they took him down from the tree, they laid him in a sepulchre, but God raised him from the dead. This man, this Jesus, this Savior, that Israel has looked for and waited for, and was put to death by those Jews. He said, God raised him from the dead. He's not dead. Is this not our hope? Our risen Lord? He died for us, but it says he rose again for our justification. And there's many witnesses to this truth. We're not making this up. This is not a story that we are making up. This is the God's truth. God raised him from the dead. And there were many witnesses that saw Him. And we declare unto you good news. Glad tidings. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that He hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm. And notice how He connects the name Jesus here to the Son of God. Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. The death of Christ was not a tragedy. That was not a tragedy. Paul says that's good news. That is good news to sinners. Because the only hope I have is in Him. In His life, in His death, in His resurrection, in His very person. That's our hope. That's not a tragedy, that's good news. That is good news. And as concerning that He raised Him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. All that belongs to Christ. David was the imminent picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, now, those promises that God made and called the sure mercies of David are yours in Christ. Sure mercies, sure pardon, sure forgiveness, sure cleansing, sure life, a sure salvation. Those are the sure mercies of David. And God has given them to you in Christ. We have them. These sure mercies belong to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is glad tidings. And this is the word of salvation that is sent to you. God has sent the gospel. And I'll finish up the rest of this next week. I really wanted to look at verse 29. It says, and by Him all that believe are justified from all things in which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. I really wanted to deal with that by itself. But God has sent the gospel. I sat in my studies, I looked at this, and I thought, I wish I could preach this as it ought to be preached. Such a gospel deserves good preaching, doesn't it? Such a gospel deserves good preaching. The more I sit in my study, and the more I do this, the more that thought just keeps going over and over my head. It deserves the best we can give it. The best we can give. Such a gospel. God sent this gospel to you. We are among the most blessed people that have ever walked on the face of this earth. And in a little while, we'll find it out. Like you said, in a little while. In a little while, we're going to be amazed. We are going to be amazed. And we'll sing Amazing Grace like it ought to be sung. Okay, Cecil.